Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh is daf Lamed Hey, and we can actually proceed if Gershi will just show himself. I mean, it's amazing that we've actually got him, but to hide, I don't know. There we go. Okay, it is him. It's definitely Gershi. Wonderful. Okay, so we're holding right at the top of the daf, Rabosai, and we were just coming off of the sugya where Rava claimed, let me just remind you, we were thinking about what happens if a guy talks about his own thing. So he says, kikri, my bread is usur, but he says, alecha. Now, alecha is a lashon of carbon, right? Alai, alecha. Okay, so then the question is like this. Do we stress the kikri? That is, as long as it is my kikar, it's usur. But the moment it's no longer my kikar, it's not usur. Which would mean that in the event that, let's say, I give it to you, so at that point, it's no longer usur. Or do we stress the alecha, that this kikar was made the equivalent of hegdish on you, and therefore what difference does it make if it's mine or not? So Rava claimed that the point is that it's definitely going to be usur, and that's the reason that the guy made the netter in that fashion. Today, we want to ask Akasha on Rava from a Braita where it's mashma that once it's given to the person upon whom it was usur, it then actually is no longer usur, which is a complete reversal of Rava's psak. Eitvet. Amalo hashileni paratcha. Somebody asks a guy, could you lend me this cow, will you? So he says to him, look, I'm telling you something over here. Konen parashani konui lecha. I mean, what do you think I am? You think like I've got another 20 Porsches in the stable. Believe me, this is my only car. So what are you asking? I should take my car and give it to you. What am I supposed to do? And if it turns out that I actually have any other cars, so let me tell you something. You should just get out of my life and everything I have is usur on you. That's the gersa that we have, which ties in better to the end of the circuit. So then the chasai alecha imyeshli parayal azuf. I've got another cow. So then that's it. We're finished. The guy says, could you lend me your hatchet? And he says to him, what do you think? I got a whole stable full of hatchets. Konim kardom sheyeshli shani kanui. This is the only one I've got, you know. And if I have any other, nechasay alecha, im yeshli kardom elazeh. So anyway, this is, as I say, this is our girsa. There's other girsaot and so on. But the Iker idea is clear. I mean, the problem, of course, with the girsa is like, if all we're trying to illustrate is this halacha binogea the din of Rava, where somebody said mine, what do we have to make it so complicated about that he says, if I have, what do we need this crazy case for? Just say, if a guy said that parati alecha, and then he gives it to him, either it's mutter or it's usur. I mean, so something is wrong with the girsa, that's for sure. But the other indications are not clear as to what the girsa is. So we'll stick with this because what we're interested in, essentially, is the question to Rava, right? So it says here that nimtza sheyeshlo. So as long as the person who made the neder is alive, it's usur. But dig this. If the guy dies, so then it's no longer his pora, right? Or, and here's the crucial word here, oh, shenit nalo b'matana. Or if the person that was usher on the pora gets that pora through a gift, then it's mutter. Uh-oh. So then if that's the case, it's beferish or b'raita against Rava's psak. Here it's telling me that where a person ushers something, alecha, and it's his thing, that in that event, if he gave it to him as a gift, it's not a problem. This has nothing to do with Rava. It's not talking about that case. It's talking about that somebody else gave him this para. That's what it's talking about. So the idea over here is a tremendous nafkamina. Rava is the question of Rava was, if the guy himself gives it b'matana. Now let's just analyze the issues here. If he had not said alecha in the beginning, there wouldn't have been any question. Because we know that nobody argues with the fact that if you usher something of yours on someone else, if it's no longer yours, it's definitely not usher. If you usher something that is currently yours, so that you use the idea of yours as mere identification. This, which is currently mine, and therefore I have rishus over it, I am asering on you forever. So then it remains usher even if the guy dies, because he can create an isser upon it. Now, the question was the contradiction in the implications of the language, right? That's what Rava was asking, was coming to answer, where the guy said both alecha and he said mine. So what do we hear? Do we hear the kikri or do we hear the alecha? Now, what Rava was saying was not that we only hear the alecha. Rava was saying that in the event that he also adds the alecha, so then what he's saying is that I cannot be the agent of your having pleasure from this kikar. And therefore, it would include also my giving it to you. I can't give it to you either. If I give it to you, it will remain usur. So it's the kikar that I gave you. But let's say I sell this kikar, and the person that buys it gives it to you. What's the problem? And that is what, says Rav Acha Bar Yehuda Ravika, is precisely what this Braita is talking about. And by the way, if you analyze the language of the Braita, you will see that that is precisely the case. It's talking about over here where a third party came along to whom it had been sold, and, or whatever, maybe this guy died and this is someone else who inherited it. I don't know, but the bottom line is that where Braita is not telling us the case of Rava. Rava's case was, I can't give it to you. Over here, somebody else gave it to you. And there it's mutter. Omer Ravashi, well, obviously, can't you read? That is a little bit of a problem, because actually, if there are no nekudas, I can't read. How do I know whether the way to read it is shenatla lo b'matana or shenitna lo b'matana? There's no yud. It's not k'tiv malay here. So how do you know how to read the Braita? what's Ravashi coming along and saying, what? Can't you read? It says nitna. I mean, I understand. What is he doing? He's reading like from a child's version in which they put in the nekudas. So the Ran says an amazing thing. The Ran says that there was a Kabbalah on all of these Braisas as to how it's to be pronounced. It's not, remember, a Braisa is Teresh Baal Peh. It was always taught Baal Peh. Right? It's only now later at the time of the Gemara, so we start writing down the Braises. The Rambam says that they started writing it after the time of the Mishnah. But in any event, we know how to pronounce it. So therefore, says Rav Ashi, he says, in a sense, can't you read? It says, shenitna. And daikanami, diktani, shenitnalo. Velokatani, shenitanalo. So it's not talking about where the guy himself gave it to him, which was Rava's case, which indeed would have been usher. In fact, the Braisa stresses the opposite. It's stressing only if it was given to him by somebody else. That's the point. Now, we are about to embark on the sugya that we spoke about many times in the past, and we had even the Ran's approach, if you recall, who tried to make the sugya earlier and the Mishnah earlier, Galiba to Rebbe Meir, that it was going according to him, who holds Yesh Me'ila Bekonomos, and so on. I want to discuss this idea a little bit right off the bat so that we can understand it better in all of its fascinating ins and outs. So remember that basically the question is like this. Since, now there's two ways to understand the question, because there's two ways to understand the Nedarim, remember. According to the Ran, Nedarim are an issue that stand on their own, and it's because of the fact that the Torah has within it the concept of Nidrei Hekdesh, in which a person is responsible for something entering a state of Isser, where he doesn't create the state of Isser, but the state of Isser devolves around something which he calls a carbon. So by extension, if somebody says something is Osir in that fashion, so then it can become Osir, and those are called Nidrei Isser. And therefore, Nidrei Isser and Nidrei Hekdesh are connected. The Rush learns they're much more powerfully connected than that. If you recall, I mean, there were many other Rishonim that were involved in this. If you recall, this is our discussion at the beginning of the Masechet. He learns that there is no such thing as Nidrei Isser. Basically, Nidrei Isser are only an extension of the idea of Nidrei Hekdesh. And therefore, they do not work except for the fact that they are the equivalent of saying korban or konam, which is just the kinoi for korban. So you mean to say that if you just said dovrze osur beneder, It's not usher according to the Rosh. It is usher. But it's only usher because of yadot. Since a yad allows you to say something without fully defining it, so when you say it's usher, the yad reads in the words, it's usher ke carbon. Remember that big machlokas, right? That changed everything. So according to the Rosh, it's only involved, essentially, in the concept of Dindrei Hekdesh. So now the question is like this. Let's ask it according to the Rosh, and then see what exactly the din would be according to the Ran. If you're telling me that the only way that Nidorim work is through an extension of the halachas of Nidrei Hekdesh, so then how far does that extension go? Because, I mean, Nidrei Hekdesh have all kinds of other things associated with them. The moment I say something should be a korban, then that means that anybody who comes along and is nene from that korban, oh boy, he's in big trouble because he's a mayal behekdesh. So first of all, he was over another Isser Lav in the Torah, the Isser of Me'ilah. Furthermore, he's chayef to bring a korban asham. Furthermore, he has to pay back Hekdesh a full value of the thing that he was mayal, plus he has to pay an additional chomesh. Okay. So now the question is, there's one other issue over here that is also important to note, that if it's Hekdesh, then you can be paid a Hekdesh. Wow. So could you be poda a netter? That would be amazing. So then, like, what do? You pay the money and then the Isra goes off or what? How exactly does that work? Okay, so these are all of the questions that we have to consider when it comes to the extent of the relationship of the two sugyas. So on the simplest level, obviously, the difference will be whether somebody who accidentally was over on his neder, does he actually have to bring a korban arsham? Whoa, as if it was a me'ila behegdash, which is amazing. Would he also have to pay a chomesh plus the knas? So that the Achronim explained, the Achiezer has a big piece on this, that of course nobody discusses payment about this issue, because the payment element of Mi'ila has to do with Hekdesh owning the Momon. In this case, there is no Momonus, and therefore it's a little nonsensical to question whether there'd be payment. Who would you pay? Exactly. So that's not the issue. But that would mean that if you're over on a neder, there would be two separate Isurim. One would be Lo Yachel Devaro, which of course is always true, and one would be the Isurim of Me'ila, which means he would get Malkus two times. Whoa, that is not brought by the Rambam for some reason. And then the Mishnah Lamelech questions whether, in fact, since the Rambam does Paskin, as does the Ran, as does the Ritva, that Yesh Me'ila Bekonamot, because over here we're going to see that the Stam Mishnah, we're going to be Medayik like Rabbi Meir, who holds Yesh Me'ila Bekonamot. So why doesn't he mention the fact that you would get Malkus twice? Now there's other issues. What about you just Aser Hana'a? You see, when you're talking about Hekdesh, there is an item. So when you say Kikar Ze Konam, or Kikar Ze Korban, right? So then there's an item that you can relate to with that item as the thing which becomes Hekdesh. But what about if you just say that Konam the Hanov from me on you? So is that, what would that mean? Is that also Me'ila? I mean, surely he can't make himself Hekdesh. So how exactly would that work? That's one question about these issues. What about if you only create an Isra Achila, Kikrizil Alecha Ba'achila, not Ba'ana? But there's no such thing in Hekdesh. You can't just make a Hekdesh for certain items. Would we even think that that would be considered to be the equivalent of Me'ila? Good question. How about if I aser your bread on myself? Does that mean that I asered it? I made it Hekdesh on me? Or I can't really make something that belongs to you Hekdesh, can I? So if we're going to compare it to Hekdesh, then we can't compare it to the dinim of Me'ila Hekdesh, because there's no way that I could do such a thing when it comes to Hekdesh. Am I going to get an actual good L'chaim? There we go. Okay, so that's another big question. There's other issues. In other words, there's no me'ila by karkot, right? So suppose the neder had something to do with karka, being neder from karka. Would we say also that for sure, ein me'ila b'konamot on karka? As you can see, like the question of how literally this is hegdash is a big question. Now, what about according to the Ran? The Ran has an idea of a neder, which is just a neder. It's not hatfasa. Remember, according to the Ran, it's not that a normal neder works through a yad. A normal neder is just to say something is aser. It's possible to make a neder to say kona. So maybe the question, according to the Ran, this isn't clear. But if you hold that the din is a yad, so then it's obvious that we could say yesh mila bekonamot, even where you didn't say the word konam. But what about if you hold that a normal neder is usur only because we learn it out from the concept of nidrei hekdesh? That there is such a thing. Does that mean that it's literally like a konam? Even if you just said usur alai, which the Ran says is not a yad? That's a big question. There doesn't seem to be any hint in the Ran about it. But the fact is, all of the cases that it brings to the Gemara is in terms of konamot. Yesh mi'ila b'konamot. Now, you should know that the Lashon of the Rambam, he seems to go out of his way to change that language. And as you know, the Rambam tries to maintain the language in a Gemara where he can, certainly in a Brisa or a Mishnah, unless it's really nogea, the understanding, which, according to him, is going to confuse you. And he actually uses the word yesh mi'ila b'nidarim. He doesn't say yesh mi'ila b'konamot. So, I mean, it's mashma that it's just a general halacha. The problem is that when the Rambam comes to explain it, he says, yesh mi'ila b'nidarim. Ketzad ha'omer ki kazalai korban ha'ekdesh. So, I don't know, that's a little bit unclear then, right? So, it's mashma that he holds that you do need the lashon of korban or konim in order to actually be chayav on the me'ila. However, just you should know that there are quite a few mefarshim that say that there would not be me'ila if you just use the lashon of neder and you never mention the korban. And, I mean, there's some that even Taina, the Ritvaz, he Taina's, even according to the Rush, that would be true. There's no me'ila unless you use the word hegdash, or you use the word konam. Now, there's another question which the Ran raises, which is, what's interesting is that when you do me'ila on hegdash, the chefetz is yotze midei hegdash, right? And it becomes chulin. Does that happen to a neder also? That it's possible that once somebody was over, so then the neder is batal. Now, it's important to understand that question in the context of the idea of klali or prati, as the Rishonim put it. There's such a thing as a konam klali. This is osur akulei alma kehekdesh. So then I understand that anybody that would use it, we could say yesh konamot. But what about if somebody asks something only on himself? That's called a konam prati. Konam kikazo alai. So would he be personally chayvin me'ila, even though it's something that is not really similar to hegdash, because there's no such thing as a carbon to one person, not a carbon to another person. So there definitely, it's clear from the Rishonim and from the Sugya, that a carbon prati, a me'ila prati is shayech, the yesh me'ila bekonamot. The question is how similar it is. But certainly where it's a me'ila that would work on everyone, so then again, the question is, so let's say one person was male. If that were the case in Hegdash, it would no longer be Hegdash. So is that the case in the Dorim? This is a question that the Ran raises without bringing a clear raya. The truth is that it's interesting that Rashi in Ksuvus says very, very clearly that even if it was a personal konam, a konam prati, that there's me'ila b'konamot, and it's yotza l'chulin, which is amazing. So, okay, now the question is it possible that there's a pidyon? Would that be a pidyon, a personal pidyon? So what would you do? You would pay Hegdesh, the Pidyon. We're going to see all of these questions going on. But as you can see, it's a rather wide-ranging kind of sugya that includes a lot of different issues, and it really touches on the underlying mechanisms of Nedarim and the interrelationship between Nedar Hegdesh and Nedar Yisr, which has been with us as a theme throughout the Masechta we've been speaking about from the very first day. So this is sort of like the ultimate extension of that idea. So let's go to the Gemara now. Boi minei Rav Amir Rav Nachman. Yesh mi'ila b'kon amot olo. Omar lei, what do you mean? Didn't we just have a Mishnah? Our Mishnah says a weird thing. Makom shenotvim alei al sachar tipolana ala hegdesh. So this was talking about the case. Somebody's returning an Aveda, and generally speaking, we pay people for returning the Aveda for lost income, and this guy refuses to accept it. That was the simplest case. Remember, we had a few possibilities. And the guy refuses to accept it, and because of that, that Hana, since his Hana was usher on the person receiving the Aveda, so that person has to give the Hana to Hegdesh. Why to Hegdesh? It's crazy. I mean, normally when we have something that's Yisuri Hanah, what we do with it is we say, okay, Yipalana Liyama Melach, you know, throw that out in a way that you're not going to be nenem from it. But why would we talk about give it to Hegdesh? That's not the normal way that we would phrase such a thing. Therefore, I say that the whole point that the Mishnah is making is to tell you that Lameimra Ki Hegdesh, just like Hegdesh, my Hegdesh Yeshbo Mi'ila, Avkonamot Yeshbem Mi'ila. Because otherwise, why in the world would we do this? Now, you should know that there's two approaches to this. The Ran's approach is that this is just a semantic argument, meaning that it isn't really that the Hana'a is Hegdesh just because I said Konam. It's just that the Tana is using this as a hint. I'll bet you're wondering why I said Yipol Anala Hegdesh, right? Well, I want to remind you, the whole idea over here is that Konamot are like Hegdesh. Okay, I mean, that's interesting, but it doesn't really mean Yipol Anala Hegdesh. However, there are many Rishonim who learn, no, it means literally Yipol Anala Hegdesh, because the Isser Hana'a is an Isser being Nena from Hegdesh, which, of course, this has to do with the question that we raised earlier, which the Mishnah Melech had raised that question in the Rambam, namely, if you don't have a particular item, and that item, it can't be identified as the konam, it's the hanah from me. Over here, what's the hanah? That I was mevater on money that you owe me, right? I mean, so where exactly is the me'ila? So, I mean, over there, the whole point is that it isn't a function of me'ila, it's just the fact that Hegdesh essentially is the bilim of that hanah. In which case, if you take it away from Hegdesh, it's like being nene from Hegdesh in general, which has a din of me'ila. But that would mean that the monetary value is essentially Hegdesh's as well. A little bit iffy. But anyway, you could see why you don't want to say like the Ran, that it's just like a semantic kind of hint. Okay, but we understand that the Mishnah definitely seems to be, at the very least, merames that konamot yesh be'me'ila. And in fact, says the Gemara, this is a big machlokas tanoim. Because a braita reads like this, konam kikar zo hegdesh v'yachala. So guy says, this kikar is like the konam of hegdesh. And he eats it. Or somebody eats it. Benhu, ben chaver, I don't care, he eats it. But whoever eats it is going to be chay of me'ila. Lefichach yesh lo pidyon. And therefore, you can actually be poda it. So over here, even though it's not real Hegdesh, that what you can do is you can turn the kikar into money. Because remember that piece of bread that was usher? Well, here it is. It's this dollar bill. This dollar bill is now usher. That would be the simple meaning, because remember, we said all along, there's no question of paying Hegdesh for it, right? Because Hegdesh doesn't have any mumen invested in it. So the whole din of Chomesh by Me'ila, that wouldn't apply. That was one of our basic yisodas when we started talking today. So then over here it would mean, okay, put the dollar bill in a envelope and say, Osir Bana, you know. And then that would be its pidyon. Whoa. It's really weird if you say, Kikazo alai lehegdesh. Now we're talking about a konam prati. For me, it's a hegdesh. And then somebody eats it. So then it depends. If he ate it, so then he is moral. But if somebody else eats it, you didn't ask it on anybody else, so then chaveiro lo moral. But since that's true, lefichach ein lo pidyon. Why is that? Why does it follow automatically that ein lo pidyon? So this is a concept which Gavi is about to write down. Olim lemitves pidyonon. Olim lemitves pidyonon means this thing is powerful enough to grab a pidyon. So if something has, we find this by real hegdish as well. Something which is an initial hegdish is powerful enough to be tofes something else with its kedusha. Something which was a runoff of hegdish, in certain cases, whether it's Vlad Hegdash, Tmuras Hegdash, in certain cases cannot be Tofes Pidyono because it's not strong enough, because it's not primary. So over here we have the same halacha. Since it's not a real Hegdash, and it's only also on one person, so therefore it's not Olim Lemitfes Pidyono. And therefore, that's what Rebbe Meir is assuming. And if that's the case, then we see clearly, Divrei Rebbe Meir, that Rebbe Meir holds that Yesh Konamot, Yesh Mila Bekonamot. And this is what we've been describing all along throughout this sugya to the sheet of Rebbe Meir. V'chachamim omrim, Bein kach u'bein kach lo ma'al. What does Nedarim have to do with Me'ila? That's like taking a metaphor a little bit too literally. Ein Me'ila Bekonamot. Me'ila is a function of the kedusha in a thing, silly. Not the ownership of the thing, it's kedusha. Something that is owned by Hegdash has a darg of kedusha. You're trying to tell me that making things a netter gives them a kedusha? Why would it have something to do with more than iser so that it should be part of Me'ila? Now this could be a fundamental question when we get to Besechet Me'ila to analyze this question. And how does the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rebbe Meir vis-a-vis Nedarim, how does it impact our understanding of the nature of Me'ila, Bichlal, of the relationship of Me'ila to the Kedusha of the object, or the relationship of Me'ila to the Isser of the object? Okay, something to remain in your minds until Me'ila, no problem. I'm sure there's lots of storage space, and we could continue on, especially as Gershi has just hooked up a 2 terabyte static here over here, a SATA drive to his brain interface. There's no problem of remembering it until Me'ila. I wish he would share it with the rest of us. Some of us have some serious memory limitations. Okay, v'chachomim omrim, that there's no such thing, ein Me'ila b'konamot. This is our fundamental machlokas tanoim about the question of Me'ila, Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim. Now, assuming, and this is another raya, that you're tired today, Baruch Avram. I would have thought this would be the most exciting sugya you've heard. How can somebody even yawn at me? So now the question is, sorry, just using you as a scapegoat. So Barnea wasn't doing much, performance. I couldn't come down on him. Okay. So now let's assume, this Gemara sort of says, let's assume that Yesh Me'ila B'konamot, and therefore Rav Acha B'Rei D'Rav Avya says to Rav Ashi, so what would be the din when he says Kikri Alecha? So we came out that if you say Kikri Alecha, then it's going to be usher on him even if he gets it B'matana, right? Like Rava said. But if I give it to you, and I answer this kikur on you, and I give it to you, who is moel? Ooh, good question. I mean, could I be moel? Limol notein? I mean, I didn't answer it on me, I answered it on you. So, like, how did I create an iser of me'ila on myself? Halo asira alei. Limol mikabel? Well, how about the guy who got it when I gave it to him? He didn't realize that he was taking Isser. Yochol de Omar had teira ba'iti. Isser lo ba'iti. I was never kainet. I never wanted to be kainet something that would be me'ila. Now, if you spend money of Hegdash for me'ila, over there, even if you didn't know it was Hegdash, that's the Isser me'ila. But somebody gives you something, and there's no das to be kaina, it's a mekachtos, over there there's no meila, so over here there's a chisaron in the kinyan. Now there's a big problem here, guys, a very big problem. Somebody's got to come to the rescue. And as the Ron points out, this is a knockout blow to that Rambam. Ha ha. No, why? Because remember, the Rambam, when he was talking about by Achel Devaro, we had all the other Rishonim on one side, that they were saying the one that's going to be over on the Baal Yachel, couldn't be the person who made the Neder, would have to be the person who's over the Neder. And the Rambam said just the opposite, that even if the person had just made the Neder, so then even though it's not Usher on him, but he is the one that's going to be over on by Yaakov Devoro. So as the Ron says, aha. So if that's true, why does the Gemara say, Lim ol Neisein, Lo alav Asira? Well, I mean, that's the point that the Rambam's making on the whole question of by Yaakov Devoro. You were the one who said that this Kikri is Alecha. So if you're over on that, then you're over on by Yaakov. Why would the one who's Nene be the one that would be over on Bayachal? Okay, wow, it's a big point. But what it shows us is, clearly, that according to the Rambam, actually, the two sugyas of the Bayachal and the Isser Me'ila are not identical. That's clear. So in other words, even though I make the neder in terms of Bayachal, but asering the thing kehegdish doesn't mean that the Me'ila would be chal on me. That doesn't follow. I mean, that's obviously what the Rambam is saying. But that means that we have a more subtle interrelationship over here between the two Isurim than we thought. And that, too, let's keep in mind. This we could probably keep in mind long enough, even without Gershon's drive. And we could see how it plays out in the continuing sugya. So what happens? Oh, my life, Rav Ashi says to Rav Acha, Breda Rav Avia, he says, nobody is mayal. You don't understand. You're not mayal in this case by just the transferring of the item from the so-called Rishos Hegdish, which is where I'm giving you the kikar. That is not mayala. True. But when the person would use it, that's the mayala. So the mekabel would be mo'el, but he would only be mo'el when he actually takes it away and utilizes it from Mishiyotzi. Because basically that's the equivalent of taking out money from Hegdash and using it for Chulin. So over there, even though he thought it was Chulin, he made a mistake, because Sefer Shel Chulin Hu, it's still Moel. So this case is exactly the same. He didn't have to know it was Hegdash in order to be Moel, but he needed to know it was Hegdash in order to be Moel just by accepting the gift. Yes, because then like I would never have accepted it, so there was no transference that was made utilizing my acceptance because I didn't want to accept it. Fine. So you're right. So he won't be mayal. What's the big deal? He'll only be mayal in the case that he actually uses it. Now, this brings us to a continuation of the prior Mishnah, and you will immediately see that it's a continuation, which means that we don't want to hear any complaints from our kapitan, because it's a continuation. And amatchil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. So let's hear the next piece of the same Mishnah, which I don't think is roy for overtime payments at all. If you have a problem with this, I happen to know the Supreme Labor Court's Chief Justice, and we can discuss. Well, you know him too, but we'll take it to court. Go ahead, Sir Richard. Okay, so we said that this guy who is usher to give him anah, he can pay his shekel, he can pay off his loans, continues the Mishnah, and he can take off truma and meiser for this guy. Of course, he can only do that if this person knows about it, because you have no way of taking off trumas and meisers for somebody else unless he conforms with his das to it. Now, that's a little bit of a problem. Because let me ask you something. Suppose I say to a person from whom I'm usher to be nene, should you do me a favor and take off trumas and meisers for me? So then he's acting as my shliach. Well, how could acting as my shliach not be a hana'ah? I mean, I understand. If somebody else, I'd have to pay to do the job, right? That's hana'ah. I'm perfectly willing to pay someone to handle my trumas and maasers for me. I mean, I pay someone to handle my taxes, you know. So why can't I pay them to handle trumas and maasers? So that for sure can't be the case. We're going to see in the Gemara that what we're talking about when we say it's midaato, it does not mean that he appointed him to do it. It would be similar to a case where a guy would say, anybody who takes off truma meiser for me, I accept it. I'm just happy that it's done. Okay, so they didn't make him into a shliach. Understood. But how about this next case? Makriv alav, kinei zavin, kinei zavod, kinei yodod. Now, here is a case where the person that is usher to give hanah to this individual is a kohen, and he's bringing karbonas for him. Can he bring karbonas for him? Well, it says over here, yes, he could bring. It's interesting that we point specifically to kinei zavim, kinei zavas, kinei yoldos. Now, those are all the birds that are brought for mechusrei kapara, correct? They're all mechusrei kapara. And he can bring chataot va'ashamot. We can also bring korban chatas and korban asham, but we're going to see that this means also only chataot va'ashamot of mechusrei kapara. Now remember that mechusrei kapara are, these are all zavin, zavais, yoldais, the cases of the mitzoroin, anybody who's not allowed to eat hegdash, because they're still tamei until they're makriv their korban, right? It's not a korban on a chait. It's a korban to make the person tar. So for some reason, the only korbanos that are mentioned over here that I'm allowed to bring are these korbanos. Now, what's the significance of that? I mean, why doesn't it just say makriv alav korbanot? I mean, if it's pointing to specific korbanot, then it seems to be running into an issue in which there's something unique about these korbanot. So what might that be? And it also seems to imply that as far as bringing other types of korbanot, you could not bring other types of korbanot. So one possibility to this might be that we're listing these korbanot uniquely because in order to bring these korbanot, you do not need the person to appoint you to bring the korban. Whereas other korbanos, you do. You need to make this your korban. Then you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, and the kohen brings it to you, for you. But we know that that cannot be the case in mechusrei kapara. How do we know that? Well, because the Torah, when telling us zot torat hazav, is including children. So how could Zot Torat HaZav, remember we learned out from there that even an infant, because of hormones in the blood from the mother and so on, it is able to be Roya Zivais, either as a male or as a female. So the question would be, how can you say Zot Torat, which includes bringing all of these karbanas, if this infant is not exactly capable of appointing someone to bring a karban? So obviously it must mean that daddy is going to bring the karban for him or her, right? So, and the same thing is true, as we'll see, about a man bringing korbanos for his wife. It turns out you can bring korban for your wife. Well, how can you bring korban for your wife? You know, and there's something gay whether she wants to, doesn't want to. So, if that's the case, maybe the reason that we're bringing these specifically is because over there you don't need to be appointed. But if you would need to be appointed and we would need to have das, then it would be considered to be a hana'ah. Why? Because he's doing it for you. So that's a shlichut, right? Okay, we'll see. Not only that, if he's usher to give him hana'ah, he can still teach him Torah. But what Torah? Well, he could teach him Medrash, he could teach him Halachas, he could teach him Agadahs, but he can't teach him Tanakh. Lo yalam benu mikra, for some reason. Okay, so the Gemara is going to look into this. It turns out that there's separate sachar for pisuk ta'amim. So teaching a person how to lane, which is part of teaching in Mikra, who ever heard of teaching people Chumash without teaching them how you're supposed to actually pronounce the Chumash, which of course is the Ta'amim. So you're teaching them the Ta'amim, then for that you are allowed to, Medrash is referencing to the Diyukim from the Pasuk, which are done basically in the Gemara and the Brises, you know. So, we're Medayaka word, and this word means, to include even this case. Whereas Haggadah is talking about, that's the difference between Midrashei Halakha and Midrashei Haggadah, right? That the Haggadah is the conceptual types of relationships there. Avomelamedu et banav et benotav mikra. But you could teach his children, not him. So even though I'm usher to you, I consider that, because over here the same thing is true. Remember, basically I'm saving you money. In other words, you are mechuyev to hire a tutor for your children. So, okay, same way I could pay for that tutor. So that's the case of Hanan that we passed in the previous Mishnah. So I could teach them directly myself. Okay, now the question is, Iboyelohu, when you take a look at a Kohen, who's the Kohen working for? Is the Kohen working for you, or is the Kohen working for God? That's the issue. So, I mean, it makes a big difference. Because if the Kohen is your agent in bringing the carbon, so then if he's usher to give you hana'ah, so then you wouldn't be allowed to ask him to bring a carbon for you, because then he's being mahana you directly. If he's working for God, so then even though I'm the one that has to say, okay, I want this carbon to be brought, and you're giving it over to the Kohen, but he's not doing it for me. It's just that by opening myself up to that, I now am included in the lists of God's shluchim. So God now appoints this carbon to this Kohen. So that's the question. Who is he working for? Now, the Gemara elsewhere says that obviously a Kohen's got to be working for God, because the normal din of shlichut is that a person can only make a shliach to do the kind of things that he can do himself. If you can't do it, you can't appoint a shliach to do it. So how the heck could we ask a Kohen to bring a carbon for me if I'm not a Kohen? So that's just the logical. So Ron says, you're right. We have brought this as a raya. But what the Gemara wants to see over here is not a logical raya. It wants to see a raya directly from a Mishnah or a Braita. That's why we're raising the question again. L'may nafkamina, who cares who the Kohen is working for? Nafkamina would be for someone who's usher b'hana'ah from a Kohen. So let's say, if you're going to tell me there's shluchi didan, so then that Kohen is giving you hana'ah. And it would be usher. But if he's working for the Lord, so then it would be mutter. My. So what's the bottom line? Tashma. Well, we have our Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Kohen is allowed to go and be makriv, kinizovin, kinizovais. So now, if you're going to tell me that he's doing this as my personal shliach, it should be usher, because he's being mahanami. Since the Mishnah says he can do it, there you go. Obviously, there's no problem. He's not working for me. He is working for the Lord. Wait a minute. You're ignoring the question of why in the world we specified, of all things, kinei zavin and kinei zaves and all of the karbonas that are shayach to b'chusrei kapara. That's very suspicious. So, l'taimech, if you really think that this is a good diuk, why didn't the Mishnah just say, makriva lov karbonot? I mean, it's ridiculous to go to a whole list. Just say, makrivalov korbanot. So obviously, we want to specify this set of korbanos, which are mechuzrei kapara. And why are mechuzrei kapara different? Aha, I'll tell you why. Because, as Rabbi Yochanan points out, all korbanos require the dot of the person who is bringing the korban, but not mechuzrei kapara. And I'll prove it to you. Sha'arei Adam mevi korban al banav al benotav haktanim. Anybody is allowed by the Pferish of Pasuk to bring a korban for his minor children, male or female. And how could he do that? They don't have das to appoint him to bring it, because it says Zot Torat Hazav. And Zot Torat Hazav means, remember, the word Torat is always universal. So that comes to tell me, ben gadol, ben katan, it doesn't matter how old, it could be an infant of one day old, as we learned. Tinok ben yomo is metame bezivais. And therefore, and this is not such an unusual thing, right? I mean, this is what they call witch's milk you have also. That little children, they have breasts that are so swollen when they're born that they're actually leaking milk. But that comes from the mother's hormones. that are transferred to the placenta. So the same thing can be with hormones that are goring them to be reyazivais. And therefore, if it says Zotorat, and the Zotorat includes the dinim of the korban, this is the Torah, and this is what you're supposed to bring, it's okay. So then somebody's got to be bringing it. It's unlikely that it's the infant that's bringing it, right? So it's talking to you. So that means that the father is allowed to be microform. Well, what happened to the dot? So you see from there that only these korbanas, but other korbanas, not. And that's goof for the raya in the exact opposite way, that actually the kohen is working for you. And that's why only Mechuser Kapara, where he's not working for you, because we don't need your das, that's why Mechuser Kapara is mentioned in the Mishnah. Ha! Huh? Wow. Wait a minute. So that's amazing. Okay. By the way, it makes sense, you know, if you think about it, as Ram points out. I mean, Mechuser Kapara don't need Kapara. Really. We call it Mechuser Kapara, but it's not as if they're in need of a specific Kapara on a chait. If you're bringing another carbon, then you would need the das of the person, because the whole point of the carbon is the ritzui, and if his das is not there, how can you bring a carbon for him? Okay, so that's l'ratzon, but that's not said about Mechuser Kapara, obviously. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. And when it says Zotorat Hayoledet, it can't mean over there, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan. So what do you think it means? Zotorat Hayoledet. Because, I mean, if the woman is a katana, what you think it means, ben katana, ben gedola? But a katana cannot give birth. Because didn't we have that old sugya, we had it so many times, about contraceptives? Remember that wherever you have a shalosh nashim, this is the Tani Rav Bevi, Kamei Rav Nachman, that there are three cases where we give out contraceptives. And you have to use contraceptives. And that includes kids. Kids need contraceptives. Why? Because it's dangerous for them to get pregnant. That's exactly the point. So you see, it says over there, since a ketana mubert menika, why does a ketana need contraceptives? Shema titaber v'tamut. Because what happens if she gets pregnant and then the pregnancy kills her? So how could it tell if I need to protect her for pregnancy because it could kill her? So then how in the world could you read this as telling me ben gadola ben ketana, if that's not the norm? So that this is very strange. Now, did Rabbi Yochanan say that in all cases it's exactly the same? Wherever it says Zotorat, that means gadola ketana. It just says that it extends the envelope, whether you have das or you don't have das, right? So Zotorat Hayoledet is not referring to kids, but Zotorat Hayoledet is referring to nuts, which might be the same thing. But the question over here is, I mean, what if a shota has a baby? I mean, she could be 30 years old, but she's still a nut. So in that case, she is not able to bring korbanas. And therefore, that's what's coming to tell me. Shken adam evi korban alishto shota. Somebody's married to a woman who went insane. And she had a baby. Who brings the korban that will be matir her for achila and tuma and so on? A husband does that. Kedivrei Rabbi Yehuda. When you see that in Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, a man who has money has to bring a korban asher for his wife who was yoledet. And he can't say, I'm doing this for my wife. My wife doesn't have any money. So all she is chayevet is a korban ani. So I'll bring her a korban ani. No, because according to him, because he's the one who is chayev. Since this goes like Rabbi Yehuda, now this is the girsa we have. I just want to warn you, there's a completely different girsa in this, which comes up many, many times. And the Ran brings this. We'll take the simple meaning according to our Gemara. Kedevi Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Amer, Adam Mevi Korban Ashir Alishto. And any korban, the kol korban, that she is chayevet, he is the one that he has to bring the zova, or yoledas, or so on. That, he's not mechuyev to bring if she just was no deret, but that he has to bring. Shekach kotevla, because in the ksuva they used to write, achrayut di'it l'chalai min kadmat dina, that I will pay up all of the chiyuvim that you have in korbanas, even those that were chal before, I accept upon myself. Now the other girsa has Rabbi Yehuda Shita as referring specifically to a case of divorce. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the guy writes, in the event of divorce, I will continue to pay up any of the debts that you have in the carbon. Again, what's important to us is just the fact that it's possible to bring a carbon for someone who is a shota, and therefore, in the case of the yoledes, it doesn't have to relate to Ben Ktana, Ben Gidola.